title of the lesson this morning is Piecing Together God's Handiwork. Piecing Together God's Handiwork. So we look over to Ephesians chapter 2 and verse 10. Ephesians chapter 2 and verse 10. For we are His workmanship, created in Christ Jesus for good works, which God prepared beforehand that we should walk in them. We are His workmanship. God created us in His image. Yet trials in the life of mankind can break down what God prepared. What God prepared in us and for us. There's hurt struggling. There's hurt in marriages. There's issues with rearing children. Health problems, money worries, emotional and relational difficulties. Sometimes our life is like a big jigsaw puzzle. It's all broken down into tiny little pieces and scattered everywhere, and some of the pieces can be missing altogether or they're damaged. When we consider this thought, we have to remember what God created us for. He created us for good works. He created us to do what He would have us to do, as well as us being His workmanship. We may be falling apart, but God desires to take each piece one by one and carefully and painstakingly aid us in putting the pieces back in place. He does this through the Word of God, and He does this through the family, like here at the North Jefferson Church of Christ. When we're broken or shattered by life, that's when God can step in if we allow Him to. So the lesson this morning is going to talk about putting the pieces back together. Going to be searching the Word of God, how we can get out of a situation where we are broken, where the puzzle is distorted, where the pieces are gone or missing or damaged, and how to get back to the masterpiece that God would have us to be. The first point is learn to follow. An emphasis that we find a lot in the Lord's church today is we push leadership, and that's great. We need leadership. But we also need to be a people who learn to follow. Not only follow God, which we'll be jumping into, but also follow the shepherds of the congregation. Follow their lead to do what they would what they feel is best for us in our spiritual growth. But we look to John 14:15. What we find is, if you love me, you will keep my commandments. For us to learn and to love that God is our authority, it's going to change our mindset of what I want to do to what would God have me to do. Because all of us would want to say, hopefully, that we love God. And if we love God, we'll keep His commandments. Over to Acts chapter 5 and verse 29. Peter and the apostles were dealing with persecution. They were told to be quiet. In Acts chapter 5 and verse 29, but Peter and the apostles answered, "We must obey God rather than men." We need to put obedience as our focus. Obedience to God, not obedience to ourselves, to our friends, to what the worldly mindset may be. But we need to put an emphasis on being obedient to God. So it doesn't matter what may be coming our way, what the media may tell us is normal, how the media tells us we should act, how our denominational friends should say we should treat Christianity. Ultimately, our goal is to obey God rather than the opinions of man. We look to the 119th Psalm in verse 30. The 119th Psalm in verse 30, "I have chosen the way of faithfulness. I set your rules before me." There's a view of Christianity today that we have a freedom to do whatever that we desire, to do whatever our heart desires. And that God's going to be okay with that because God wants us to be happy. Have we heard that before? People say, well, I want to do this. The Bible says something different, but God wants me to be happy. Well, God does want us to be happy, but He wants us to be happy in obeying His commandments. We look at the rules that are set before us. Some of these are very concrete. You can't come in contact with the blood of Christ without baptism. That's concrete. We understand that the way that's been set for us was set for us painstakingly. The Bible, what we find through the Old Testament, is the most beautiful love story of God for His people, and with great power brought forth a Savior for us so we could be back in a right relationship with Him. We have rules that are established. We need to learn to follow those rules. We consider the way that we become broken people is when we don't follow some of those rules. We start doing the things that the world would have us to do. We consider consumption of alcoholic beverages. At no point is there any alcoholic in the world that says, you know, I'm really glad I took that first drink. You know, it made me all warm inside, and it was a very good decision. That didn't happen. There are all kinds of other things that we can consider of sins that went out of control where people that are struggling and entrenched in those wouldn't say, well, you know what, that first step, it was outside of God's plan, but I'm really glad I did it. I've seen on Facebook people post motivational things. One of them says is never regret something that made you smile. Whew. That's loaded right there. Because you have to ask, well, what made you smile? Was it killing the dog that barked too much next door? I mean, could it have been a mistake you made outside of marriage? Could it be any of those things? There are things that we need to repent of. God has made a beautiful thing for us to follow, being Christianity, being the plan of salvation, the pattern set for us. It is truly the best life that we can possibly live. We shouldn't be seeking to do what's outside of that. For those of us who in our adulthood did live outside of that plan, listen to us. Listen to those of us who made the mistakes. Don't seek the world for fulfillment. It's only going to lead to heartache. Be right with God and follow His statutes. John 14 and verse 31, "But I do as the Father has commanded me, so that the world may know that I love the Father. Arise, let us go from here." If we're wanting to be a presence in the community, if we're wanting to be a positive example to our friends and to our family, we need to do as Christ did in obedience to the Father. People will know who we are because we're going to be different. We don't seek gimmickry. We don't try to pull people in with lotteries and drawings and things of that nature. When Lisa and I lived in the Metroplex, there was a congregation, a denomination down the street from us that would have signs out front for their raffle, for a free TV if you'll come to services. Well, people were converted converted to the idea of a free TV, but they sure weren't converted to Christ. When we consider what we need to do as Christians, we do what God tells us, and people are going to tell that we're different. If we go out cursing, drinking, doing all kinds of things that the world does, we're not holy. We're to be set apart. We're to be different. People are looking at us and go, there is something different about them. We shouldn't be trying to rub elbows with the world and let them know, hey, we're not so stodgy. We're fun too. Oh, we're fun. But we shouldn't be sacrificing our holiness, our being right with God, to get along with people. People should be able to see that we're different. People can know that we're the Father's when we do what the Bible tells us. Luke chapter 6 and verse 45, "Why do you call me Lord, Lord, and not do what I tell you?" If we listen to some denominational mindset today, they'll say, take Jesus into your heart as your personal Lord and Savior. All you have to do is call upon the name of the Lord. Luke 6:45, "Why do you call me Lord, Lord, and not do what I tell you?" We see a similar verse. Matthew 7:21, "Not everyone who cries to me, Lord, Lord, will enter the kingdom of, only those who obey the will of the Father." It's one thing for us to go, look at me, I'm a Christian. Hey, I drove here in a car. Or I rode in a car, and hey, I walked through the parking lot, and I came in the building, and I sat in a pew, and I listened to songs. I might have even sang some, and I might have listened to the preacher, especially now with him making a funny voice. I did those things, and now I'm going to leave. Look at me. I'm a Christian. I'll think about Jesus next Sunday. That's not Christianity. You know, they've taught monkeys sign language. Did you know that? Coco was the name of the monkey. Taught the monkey sign language. You know, if we could teach a monkey sign language, I bet you we could teach a monkey how to put on a suit. We might have to help him. They've got thumbs, but I don't know if they could get the buttons or not. But could get a monkey to come to services and sit and howl during the songs. And not howl, howl, not howl. And we could get him to sit quietly and leave. But that monkey's no Christian. Christianity is more than just showing up to worship. I can't say I'm a Christian and then not do what God tells me to do. A lot of the problems that we have in the world are self-inflicted. We do it to ourselves because we're not doing as God would have us to do. And some people say, well, the rules, they're just so frigid. They're just so stiff. It's just so difficult to be a Christian. Those rules are there for a reason. I am so glad that some of those rules are in place, because it's going to help keep me healthy. Can help keep my relationships pure. Can help keep me going on the right track of holiness. I love the plan that God has had for my life. Matthew chapter 9 and verse 9, as Jesus passed on from there, He saw a man called Matthew sitting at the tax booth, and He said to him, "Follow me." And he rose and followed Him. I wish we had more context. I really do. I wish we had more context from this conversation, because it looks like Jesus just strolled up to the tax booth. "Hey, buddy, looking at you. Come on. Come on." "Oh, okay, Jesus." And just got up and left. There's more to it than that. There's more to it for us as well. Just getting up and going through the motions doesn't mean that we're following Christ. For us to follow Christ means for us to leave that sinful life behind, like Matthew did, to get up and to follow. Proverbs chapter 10 and verse 8, "The wise of heart will receive commandments, but a babbling fool will come to ruin." I remember how it... We see how messed up our society is today. When a man like Perry Cotham, who devoted over 80 years of his life, maybe even 90 years, I don't know how long he had preached. He died at 102. Or a man like him who devoted his life to being a servant for God makes no media news. But a celebrity who had other people play the instruments, who could hit a few high notes, died in a hotel bathroom with a crack pipe in hand, and they were celebrated, honored, lifted up on a pedestal. Our society is backwards. The wise will receive commandments. And what that means to a guy like me is I'm never going to be famous. I'm never going to be the rock star. I'm never going to have the great big giant pile of money so like I can be like Scrooge McDuck from the DuckTales TV show when I was a kid, where he would jump into his vault and swim in his money. Anybody? Okay, I've got a couple of nods. Scrooge McDuck, baby. I'm not going to be like that. But I've got an awesome wife, and I've got 3 beautiful kids. I've got a great church family, and we're under the oversight of a fantastic eldership. And I don't care about riches or fame. I want to receive commandments, and I want to live in eternity with God. Let's not be the babbling fools seeking something else. In Philippians chapter 2 and verse 12, "Therefore, my beloved, as you have always obeyed, so now, not only as in my presence, but much more in my absence, work out your own salvation with fear and trembling." We need to handle the Bible seriously. The day of judgment is going to come like a thief in the night. Those who are truly prepared are going to be okay. But those who aren't are going to wish they had. If you don't open your Bible throughout the week, study the passages for salvation this week. Make sure that your life is in accordance with what the Bible says. Make sure that you have done what the Bible tells you to do to become a Christian. That also involves the how. That also involves the how. I love working with Chris. I love that on any given day up here at the office, if one of us has an idea about something we're wanting to preach about, we can walk into the other office and we can talk about it and dissect it and pull up scriptures and do that kind of thing. And one of the things Chris and I was talking about on Tuesday, I believe it was Tuesday, might have been Monday, was about baptism. And the mindset that some have where as long as they were baptized, it doesn't matter how, it doesn't matter what the mindset was, but if I did it, that's enough. But that wasn't the case. When we look at Acts chapter 19, Paul found it out they had been baptized with a wrong baptism. Baptized full immersion, but not for the right reasons. Paul told them the right reasons. And they were baptized for the right reasons, to come in contact with the blood of Christ, to walk in the newness of life, as Romans 6, 3 and 4 state. If you have doubts about your salvation, fix it. Part of fixing the puzzle, part of using the Word of God to help you be complete, be that workmanship, be ready to continue to go forward as the masterpiece that God would have you to be, involves making sure that you're right with God. You don't have to be baptized in a Church of Christ building to be a Christian. But you do have to be baptized for the remission of sins to be added to the Church of the Bible to be right with God. I'm sure there are plenty. One of my best friends growing up was baptized in the Caddo River. He's not a member of the Caddo River Church. That's a pretty clever name, but no, he's not a member of that. He's a member of the Lord's Church, the Church of the Bible. In 1 John chapter 2 and verse 17, "And the world is passing away along with its desires, but whoever does the will of God abides forever." This is pretty cut and dry. This world's going to end. This world's going to be done away with. What's left behind, or who's going to be with God, is those who are obedient to Him. The Christians win. It doesn't matter what the devil does. It doesn't matter what people around us do. If we are right with God, we're the winners. I love being a winner. We have to develop self-discipline. If we're going to put the pieces back together, if we're going to piece back together God's handiwork and have ourselves to be what God would have us to be, we've got to develop discipline, self-discipline. We look in Hebrews chapter 12 and verse 11. "For the moment, all discipline seems painful rather than pleasant, but later it yields the peaceful fruit of righteousness to those who have been trained by it." I'm sure we can remember stories from our youth of where we did something that we should not have done. And a reminder was a swat on the bottom. Some cases didn't do that again. Because at that point, I didn't want to swat on the bottom. Later on, I did right because I didn't want to disobey my parents. And as I matured, I did right because I didn't want to disobey God. But discipline's not fun. But the purpose for it's going to make us better. In Proverbs 25 and verse 28, "A man without self-control is like a city broken into and left without walls." Like the city that Nehemiah found with Jerusalem, ready to be attacked at all sides. And Nehemiah, with great persistence, helped build those walls. If you don't have the self-control that you'd like, allow the Bible to build the walls of your being back up so you can control yourself, so you can be who God would have you to be. In 1 Corinthians chapter 9 and verse 27, after Paul has made reference to a marathon runner, a physical marathon runner, running and getting a wreath, when we run the Christian life, we all can win, not just one person. But what we see Paul saying in the scriptures that follow that is, but I discipline my body and keep it under control, lest after preaching to others, I myself should be disqualified. We can tell people how to live their life. We can show in Scripture how people can live the Christian life. But if we are not doing that, if we're not living the life we're telling others to live, eternity is not going to be good for us. We need to discipline ourselves to practice what we preach. In 2 Timothy chapter 1 and verse 7, for God gave us spirit, not of fear, but of power and love and self-control. People often will say, I just can't control myself. I can't control my thoughts. I can't control my actions. That's not true. That's not true. Unless there is a severe psychiatric problem, we can control ourselves. It's going to take effort. It's going to take the Word of God. And you know what? If you need a family here at the North Jefferson congregation to help you, let us help. Do whatever it takes to be right with God. We even see self-control as part of the fruits of the Spirit in Galatians 5, 22 through 23. But the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, self-control. Against such things there is no law. Never in my life have I heard someone say, You're too patient. You're too patient. Patience is a good thing. You know what? I've never heard... I can use Royce as an example. Royce Armstrong, you, sir, are too faithful to the Lord. There's no law against that. Garrett, you are too good. You're not supposed to agree with me. Humbleness should be on the fruit of the Spirit as well. Self-control is a part of love, joy, peace. We need to learn to control ourselves, to piece ourselves back together. Titus chapter 2 and verse 12, training us to renounce ungodliness and worldly passions and to live self-controlled, upright, godly lives in the present age. Training. It takes effort. It takes growth. It takes work to be right with God. We have to practice patience. Oftentimes we'll get aggravated by younger Christians, won't we? Why don't they know better than this? We really need to drop the hammer. Sometimes it takes patience, and it takes teaching, and it takes effort to get people where they need to be. It takes some time. We find in Romans chapter 12 and verse 12, rejoice in hope, be patient in tribulation, be constant in prayer. You know, sometimes when we pray, we say, dear Lord, I want this and I want it now. That can't be the mindset that we have. We need to devote our lives to doing as God would have us to do and be patient with what comes our way. In Romans 8, 25, but if we hope for what we do not see, we wait for it with patience. I want Jesus to return this morning. I would love for Jesus to return right now. I don't want to be on this earth anymore. I'm tired of the heartache. I'm tired of the pain. I'm tired of the suffering. I'm tired of the attacks. I'm tired of the persecution. I want to spend eternity with y'all. I want to spend eternity with my grandmother that passed away. I want to get to meet my grandfather. I want to praise God for the rest of eternity. But if Jesus isn't going to come this morning, I'm still going to live right. I'm still going to try to utilize every opportunity I have to share the gospel so more people will be able to share in heaven with us. In Galatians chapter 6 and verse 9, let us not grow weary of doing good, for in due season we will reap if we don't give up. You know, sometimes people view giving up as throwing my hands up and I'm finished. I'm done. You know, giving up can also be, I've done my part. I've put in my work. I did whatever it is for years. Somebody else's turn to pick that up. You know, I was a manager at a restaurant while I was in grad school. And what I was told by my boss was, train up your replacement. And oftentimes we'll have people say, well, I did my part, and then not have any part in helping the person do what they did for so many years. Don't just throw your hands up and say, I did what I needed to do. Help people get to where you were. In Philippians chapter 4 and verse 6, do not be anxious about anything, but in everything by prayer and supplication with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known to God. That one's a tough one. Oh, I struggle with this one. I'm wound a little tight. A bit tight. And I tell on myself because there may be others here this morning that are wound tight too. It takes effort to have patience in God. It takes effort and it takes practice. We need to let go and let God, I believe is the phrase I've heard before. In Ecclesiastes 7:9, be not quick in your spirit to become angry, for anger lodges in the bosom of fools. There's a difference in anger and righteous indignation. Jesus showed righteous indignation. It should upset us the way our country is going. It should upset us when people break the laws of God. That should upset us a lot more than what some politician is doing. Yet people will get up in arms on both sides of the aisle and get passionate about their political views more so than we'd ever see them about their relationship with God. We need to put our passions where they belong. 1 Corinthians chapter 13 and verse 4, love is patient and kind. Love doesn't envy or boast. It is not arrogant. When we see love, I think of God because God is love and God is ultimate with His patience. We have a fantastic example for us to strive for. In James chapter 1 and verse 19, know this, my beloved brothers, let every person be quick to hear, slow to speak, and slow to anger. Practice patience. If we're going to piece ourselves together to be the most effective person that we can be, we need to practice patience. Romans 5:4 explains why. And endurance produces character. Character produces hope. The more that we endure, fight forward, grow, it alters who we are. It changes who we are, and it changes who we are for the better, for the most useful, and for the most effective. If we're going to piece the puzzle back together, we need to seek accountability. James chapter 5 and verse 16, therefore confess your sins to one another and pray for one another that you may be healed. The prayer of a righteous person has great power as it is working. Some people take this scripture from its proper context. Some people take this scripture from what James was getting at. And some have even manipulated it to say, confess your sins to a priest. When I tell someone something I'm struggling with, when I pray with someone, when I truly repent, I can have my sins forgiven and it's then that I'm healed. We need to be more accountable to each other, to lean on each other, to work with each other. While we're going to be judged individually on the day of judgment, it doesn't mean that we have to live our Christian life alone. We don't confess our sins to someone else to get forgiveness of those sins. We do it to help each other. Proverbs 27:17 gives that reason. Iron sharpens iron, and one man sharpens another. If you want to be like someone else, if you want to be a fantastic teacher, work with teachers. You want to be a fantastic, knowledgeable Bible student, work with someone that you admire. Work with someone. Find out what they do, how they study their Bible. Then you can be on that path as well. But sitting back going, I sure wish, I sure hope, isn't going to get you anywhere. Romans 12:15, rejoice with those who rejoice, weep with those who weep. We need to seek accountability and also develop those relationships that when there are times of happiness, we are happy, and in times of heartache, we hurt with them. And that takes a relationship for that to truly happen. So I'm going to give you a challenge this morning. This is the challenge. Live to a higher standard. Easy, cheesy, lemon squeezy. Live to a higher standard. And we're talking about piecing ourselves together. Look at 1 Peter 1:16. Because it is written, be holy for I am holy. Be different this week. If there is something that you are doing that could cause people to doubt if you're a Christian, don't do that. That can be places you go, things that you do. It can be all kinds of things. I used this as an example in a class once. I guarantee you, we will never see Weldon Miller go to a booze shop and bring out, carrying two long necks of wine out to his car. Even if he was going to do it to marinate steaks. Even if he was going to do it for the most innocent of reasons, people that are driving by are going to think, what? Furniture man's going to get sloshed. Even if that's not the reason. We're not going to see Weldon do that because he's above reproach. We as Christians should also not be putting ourselves in a position that people see us doing something and go, there's another hypocrite. Live to a higher standard this week. In the actions that you partake in, the places you go, the things that you do, constantly be thinking, what would others think? As a matter of fact, just act like Jesus is sitting next to you. Are you going to say some of the things you say? Watch some of the things that you watch. Do some of the things that you're going to do if Jesus was right there. This week, live to a higher standard. So the conclusion of this lesson, if we're going to piece together what we have broken to be the beautiful workmanship that God would have us to be, learn to follow. Don't be your own authority. Doing things our way leads to destruction. Develop self-discipline. Put forth that effort to be right with God, to study your Bible, to practice what you're reading. Practice patience. Oftentimes, pieces fall into place when you practice patience. I've been here a year, a little over a year now. And there are things that I know that people were up in arms about. People were upset about. And when given time, those situations resolve themselves. But the bad attitudes were not good. We need to practice patience. We need to seek accountability. Work with people you respect. Work with people you think you can help. Work with each other in our Christian walk. The North Jefferson congregation, let's lock arms. Let's work together. Let's be the strongest Christian family that we can be. Let's work together in putting the pieces of the puzzle together. So we're not like this fellow that's in the background of my slide with everything all distorted. Let's get our minds right. Let's get our lives right. And then we can be the best examples that we can possibly be.
Hello, I'm Chris Grota, one of the ministers here at the North Jefferson Church of Christ in Mount Pleasant, Texas. I want to thank you for listening today. Is there something that we can do for you? Can we help you have a better understanding of God's holy word? We would love to study the Bible with you and answer the questions pertaining to salvation. If you'd like to investigate more about this, we'd invite you to go to beingsaved.org. Again, that's beingsaved.org to find the answers to the most important question you could ever ask, and that is, what must I do to be saved? After looking at that, and you'd still like to have a private Bible study, or is there something that we could do to help you obey the gospel, we'd like for you to be able to contact us at the church building at 903-572-1136. Again, that number is 903-572-1136. Or visit us online at www.njcofc.com.